Let's pray this morning as we prepare to take up the offering. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, I thank you and I praise your holy name. God, we lift your name on high this morning. Father, we put you back at the forefront of our minds, at the forefront of our hearts, Lord God, and we ask that you would just help us to keep you there throughout this morning, throughout this week as we go about our business, Lord God. Father, we can already feel your Holy Spirit moving through the continuity of this morning, Lord God, through the words that have been shared this morning, through the message that you have prepared for us this morning as well. Father, we bring this offering to you. We ask that you would receive it, Lord God. We give back to you knowing that you have blessed us with provision, that you have given us the skills and the gifts and the abilities of our hands, of our minds to provide for our families. And we ask that you would receive as we give back to you, that you would bless it, Lord, that it would be multiplied for your kingdom's purpose. We thank you, Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Amanda's going to come and help us as the offering basket is passed this morning with announcements.
Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning?
Very well.
Good. Good, good. I'm enjoying the coffee. It's been a month since I was staying away from coffee, but the sugary kind, for a month. I was dreaming about coffee last night. I told Jesse, that is just pathetic that I am dreaming of coffee. So, That's my, I admit, I'm a coffee lover. So a couple things, announcement slides are going to be going, but the main things that I just wanted to put out there was in 2 weeks we have an open house here. Hopefully our sign will be here by then. That's the goal. And so we're going to have an open house weekend. We have Alexa's band coming in, Awaken the Desolate, that Saturday, which is the 22nd. Band is starting at 7 p.m. Lynette, I believe, who's after just served the coffee bar, is in the preschool room, I think. But she is opening the coffee bar up so we can have coffee and be awake before the concert. Because if you are not awake, the concert will wake you up. I'm just warning you. It's awesome. They're going to rock it out. It's going to be very different than what you would hear on a Sunday morning. So, but it's going to be awesome. And family-friendly costumes, right? Is that right? You're having costumes?
Yes.
Do they have to show up in costumes?
You do not have to show up in costumes.
If that's out of our comfort zone, we can just show up and...
Yeah, I myself will not be wearing a costume. I have a really great anime cloak that I'm going to wear, but that's just because it's been in my closet. I did not buy it.
Okay.
My band members, however, are going to probably be in full costumes.
So. Okay, all right. Got 2 weeks to figure out your costume. All right, so, and then on Sunday morning, we're going to have a guest speaker in, which we thought this would be really fitting because we're having a missionary, and that's a big focus of our church is mission. So we want people to see that. And so service will be normal time. We'll have the coffee bar open. I believe we're going to have an ad in the paper or shop or two to just kind of give the details of our open house weekend. And also we're going to, what are we going to do? We're going to have a chili cook-off. We were trying to figure out what to do, and I said fall everything, just everything warm and bad for you, because I'm thinking like pumpkin desserts, apple desserts, you know, all that kind of warm stuff to make people feel at home. So we have a sign-up sheet, and it is a cook-off. So is this like a competition?
Yes.
Is there going to be judges for this?
Working
on judges, so I'm giving you a heads up to start preparing your, I do like spicy, yeah. What's that? Oh, they've already got theirs figured out, so. Ooh, all right. The rest of us better get on our game. Is there a prize for the winner? All right, fun. So, and then, two, we asked Josh and Lacey, weather permitting, could we get the bounce houses out? Because that would be fun for the kids. And then bobbing for apples. This is all weather permitting. So invite some people that weekend. It's going to be a good time that whole weekend. Next week, we're going to have calendars out on the welcome table so you can see what's going on through the rest of this year. I want everybody to have a heads up of our Christmas program so you can save that date. I know it's the second Sunday of December, but I don't have the exact date in my mind. We are doing this early this year because we're kind of staying with the school schedule on when theirs are. So sorry if it's bam, 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 but we wanted to get it in before everybody's doing Christmas gatherings and stuff like that. So, and I know Josh has God gave him a really awesome idea for the program this year. It's cool because he's always like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then all of a sudden, yes, and like God speaks to him and he's got this whole thing. So I think that's it for that weekend. I'm going to just talk about conference for a little bit. Is that okay? He's going to go sit down. Okay, so we had 8 ladies go to Stepping in a Leadership Conference, and Wisconsin is very unique in that there's a women's ministry. We have our women's conferences, but there's another ministry off of that that travels around and goes to churches around Wisconsin and northern Michigan. And God has been revealing to this ministry that they're going to be going out of state. In fact, we have been going out of state already. We went out to we did a conference in Indiana this summer. But this ministry has been a huge part in my life, in the connections that I've made with people and just God speaking to me. And so this conference, I was asked to speak in this past summer, and I had told God that I was not, like, I need 2 years off. Give me 2 years to get through nursing school, and I will speak. And then I was asked to speak at this conference, which happened to me in Ladysmith, only an hour away. And I just felt like God was saying, I want you to trust me in this, and I'm going to give you the message if you do it. So I committed to doing it, and I have to be honest, I felt like, what more can I give? Because I have been in such a dry season of in my own life, and the whole theme of the conference was of Ezekiel 37 of the Valley of Dry Bones. And here I'm dry and I'm speaking, you know, and it was kind of interesting because I didn't get to hear the Friday afternoon speakers, but the main speaker, that was what she talked about, was her dry season in her life. And so I'm just like, God, you're going to have to do your thing through me because I just have nothing. I didn't have time to prepare. Like, I'm a very organized, I like to have notes when I'm in front of people, especially a lot of people. Like, I don't want to make a fool of myself. And I couldn't. I'm like, God, you're going to have to just, and God moved. God moved. That's what I want to say. And ladies were touched, and I got an opportunity to pray over a lot of people, and God did powerful things, and the thing that always is amazing to me in the midst of giving and giving and giving to others at these conferences, how God refreshed me in where I was at, even though I was giving of myself, praying and listening to God and getting words for people as I'm praying. You know, I often leave these conferences tired, and God refreshed my soul. And so I'm thankful for that. And I'm going to give opportunity if any ladies want to share, no pressure, of something that stuck out to them at conference. So think about that. But the ladies really wanted Sandy to show this video. I really hope this doesn't offend anybody. At Stepping into Leadership, we have what's called the go-getters. And they basically have recruitments from all of the churches to kind of be, Wanda's laughing because she knows what's coming. They're to be like the in-between between the local church and the women's ministry to kind of promote and get it out there. And so Jackie and I happen to be the two go-getters from our church, and it was our time to do the devotional right before I spoke. So I'm like, are you serious? We had to get there at 7:30 in the morning after we got back to the hotel at midnight, and then I was supposed to speak right after that. So God has a sense of humor. I'm like, how do I get myself into this? I don't know. But anyways, it was a lot of fun. We are our team, they have teams within the Go-Getters, and we're on the pastoral pink team. That's our name. So our color is pink, and we were in charge of the Devo. And are we able to bring that up? So, okay, hold on one second. Pause it for a second. Yeah, hold on. Pause it. I have to explain because the sound. The sound, this is to the Grease movie of the Back to School. So we were the pink ladies from Grease because we're like, we're going to be totally different. We're not going to just go up and hold a letter, A, B, C, go Jesus. Like, we're going to make this fun. So yeah, we're all coming in. We have leather jackets on and pink shirts and sunglasses. So I don't think the music doesn't show. You can't hear it right away, but... And I'm sorry if this is me outside. I mean, you're going to see a different side of me. And Jackie's in here too, so you'll see her.
And the breath of life. Think pink.
Okay. But does anybody else want to, Jackie, do you want to come up and share? Maybe there's a reason nobody's supposed to see it.
That could be. So, we might take up all of the sermon time today because it was really a powerful SIL. And as God was speaking even this morning, I just can't believe how much we went through to get there. And there was a lot of opposition. And there always seems to be, and Amanda had warned me the first time I ever went to a ladies' conference, that there will always be opposition. There will always be something stealing your attention and your time to try to go to a ladies' event. And it was interesting because it was very subtle. It was very powerful opposition, but it was very subtle. And once we finally made it to Ladysmith, we're like, oh, I don't know if it dawned on anybody else, but I was like, oh, that stole my time, or this stole my time, or tried to steal my focus. But once we were there, God really moved, and there was a lot of rattling and shaking going on. And there was a lot of speaking. God really moved through a lot of our prayer warriors and the prayer team, and we're speaking right to our hearts in the struggles that we never told anybody. And he has that way of just knowing what we're going through and what we most, like, our hearts desire, and really confirming that we are where we're supposed to be. So don't ever forget that even though you maybe weren't at that event, you were where you were supposed to be. And I think that's what he really wants to say, is that he has a plan, and even though we can try to run and hide and walk away from it, it's never too late to turn back, and he brings us right where we're meant to be at the time that we're meant to be. And like me, I don't have a lot of patience, so it's hard to wait, but once you do, it's amazing how the breakthrough happens, and you it just brings you to another level, and you continue to grow and you change, and it's really awesome. We were blessed by Amanda's message, and one of the things that really stood out is to not compare our calling to someone else's calling. So that really, really struck home with me, because for me, I struggled a lot with, oh, what do other people think, or how come I'm not more like that person, or how come I'm not, you know, but really focusing that God has a calling on each of our lives, and it's each unique, and it's really important to accept that and to move with it. And don't be afraid to let go so God can move. He also gives us what we can handle. Had I had this SIL before, I probably wouldn't have been at the same level that I was this time. And it continues, like I said, just continues to grow us. And there are no mistakes in his plan. So he keeps bringing us right back around to where he wants us to be. And don't forget to push through for the breakthrough. So when you need a breakthrough, you get in the Word, you get in with God, and you just keep pushing, and you push, and you push, and it happens. And it's amazing. So
thank you, Jackie. Yeah, I felt it was kind of interesting because I could not be at the whole conference. So I came in flying from Wausau from my class to get there in time to speak. Or I didn't speak the first night, to be there for the prayer team and stuff. And then when I spoke Saturday morning, the leadership team came up to me and they're like, That was what we said yesterday when you were not there. And so it's awesome how the Holy Spirit does that, because he connected the whole thing. But God, the message that God gave me, and I'm not going to preach it all. I won't take all your time, is that our calling is unique, and that there's no time for comparison or competition in the kingdom of God, that it's time to follow our unique call. And when God gave me that message, following your call, I knew that he was going to be asking me to speak about the last 4 years and about my calling. Because when we stepped into ministry here as bivocational ministers, I didn't know anybody that was doing that. And I struggled with that. I'm like, God, you got to show me, who else does this? Who else works full-time and plants a church? And God said, your calling is unique. And that's what I kept hearing, is that our calling is unique, that I spent time comparing and trying to find my answers through everybody else instead of just hearing directly from God. And God is the one that gives us the vision, not from other people, and our calling is unique. I don't know too many other pastors' wife or pastors' wives that are going to school. You know, there's some pastors' wives that work in the church. There's some that work outside the church. There's people called to be full-time ministers in the church. There's people called to work outside the church. All of our callings are different and unique, and it's okay to be who God created us to be. So that was my message, and I was just really blessed. Thank you, ladies, for coming. I hope that you all were blessed too. So thank you.
All right. So my only segue from that is, as Amanda spoke in worship before Break Every Chain, she was talking about speaking life, and how there is power in our words. And I am absolutely blown away and amazed how God transitions one thing into another. And we are continuing our study in James this morning. We're in James chapter 3, starting chapter 3, verse 1. We're going to go about halfway through chapter 3 this morning. I'm not gonna get long-winded on you here. We've heard this message before, but I think God has a unique way of reminding us of things that we need to be challenged on, of things that we need to work on, that we need to focus on to continue to grow us, to continue to increase our impact at each and every stage of life as we move along. So James chapter 3, verse 1, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives, or a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. We're going to stop there for this morning at this point. Before we continue on, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Jesus, for what you're already doing in this service, for bringing each and every detail together, for aligning it and making it as you would have it. Lord God, we ask that your Holy Spirit would speak through us, that nothing would come from my mouth that does not glorify your name, Father God, that we would hear and understand the words from your holy scripture this morning, Lord God. Lord, I ask that you would help me communicate clearly and that your word would not return void. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. James right away hits us with kind of an interesting statement. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. In the context of this passage, James is speaking to a group of people where not many of them are necessarily educated, not able to read, not able to clearly communicate with each other. And so it was actually a very inspiring achievement to become a teacher, and a lot of people would actually desire to do that. And James right away just says, hey, you know what, guys, be careful what you ask for. You need to be careful. Not many of you should be teachers, because those of us who are teachers are going to be judged a little bit harder than everyone else. And I like to think of it, as I've been reading through a commentary on James as well in studying for these messages, it's communicated that a teacher is not necessarily judged differently than anyone else. It's just that we have more responsibility because we are the ones who are communicating truth and God's word with us, meaning we are literally directing other people's journeys. Does that make sense? That as teachers, you're not just being held responsible for your own faith and your own journey. Now you're being held responsible for the direction that you are also sending other people on. That means that that come judgment day, I will be responsible for what I speak and what I share to each and every one of you. That means that there is a heavier weight on the teacher to be speaking truth, to be speaking what is holy and what is honest from God's word. And so James is cautioning people, do not go looking to be a teacher unless you are called to be a teacher. Because he doesn't want somebody entering into something that they will be held accountable to when they don't understand the weight that is behind it. We got that out of the way rather quickly this morning. In verse 2, James, speaking, with adding himself into this conversation, indeed, we all make many mistakes. We all make many mistakes. If there is one universal truth throughout all of creation, all of humanity, it's that we all struggle controlling our tongues. Every single one of us at times has said something we've regretted or said something that we know we shouldn't have. That is a universal truth. And James is making sure that everyone understands that, hey, I make mistakes. We all make mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect. If we could control our tongues, we would be perfect. That alone is a powerful statement. If we could control our tongues, we would be perfect. The things we say, just like Amanda shared this morning during worship, have power. This thought just came to me. How many of you spent time looking at your children's names before you gave them and what they meant? Did you do that? Did you? Yeah. Okay, so you opened up the books, or you went online, and you know, us younger parents, we go online and we Google what does Caleb mean, or what does Caden mean, and you begin to look at these different meanings and what the root meaning is, and what the translated meaning is as it moves across the landscape. How many of you, when you look at your children, and I realize there's some kids in here now. How many of you, when you look at your child and you think about the name that you gave them and the meaning that that name has, you can see that in them? So I'm going to give a real quick example that I wasn't planning on. My youngest, all of you know him, Caden. Caden's name, Amanda, you might have to help me out. Part of it means fighter, which, trust me, if you've been here any length of time, you'll see that is true. And part of it means, is it faithful? Okay, so I'm pretty sure it's faithful and fighter. It's like a two-part meaning. There's a kind of a double-weighted thing going on there. And if you were around Caden for a decent length of time, you would see both truths. You would see that he is typically the first one to jump in and instigate, and the first one to kind of maybe swing when he shouldn't. But you would also see one of the most passionate and compassionate young people there is, who will jump on your lap and cuddle, for an hour, because he is both faithful and a fighter. So as long as Amanda and I can direct him to use his fighter for the right things and his faithful for the right things, we've got a very positive thing. But do you understand that there is power in what we speak? There is power in words. There is power in the tongue, as we see James speaking here. What I want you to understand is everything we speak has weight. I'm not going to stay on this topic for very long. Our political scene right now is very heavily looking at words, right? And the weights that have been attributed to them. Now, if only we could take that same idea to analyze and to consider and to think about what we say and communicate each and every time we open our mouth, maybe we could make a lot of difference in our communities. I know I myself am guilty of making statements, not necessarily in attempt to hurt somebody, but in hindsight, I might have. I can think of a particular instance. I was at a soccer game recently, and I remember there's this one kid. He's really talented. He's going to be a really good kid, but it's almost like he's too talented for his shoes, right? So he tries to do things that are a little trickier than maybe he should right now. And he could be really good if, just slow down a little bit, and you as a parent, you see this, and you just start thinking, and occasionally you think out loud, which I'm noted for doing once in a while. And I remember I wasn't making a derogatory statement, I wasn't saying anything mean, but I said something that in hindsight maybe could have been taken the wrong way. And it happened to be that his family was not that far down from me. And I didn't get any dirty looks or anything. But I know as a parent, I know what that's like to hear somebody else say something about your kid. And like I said, I wasn't saying anything mean, but I remember saying something that could have been taken that way and could have been taken as a offensive statement. And I don't know what that weight would have on that family. I know what it feels like when I hear somebody say something about my kids, and I know that that's something that I might dwell on longer than I should. But there is a serious amount of weight and strength, power, I should say, not necessarily strength, because our words can be completely weak, but there is power in our words. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. James is telling us that out of every part of our body that can be controlled, the tongue is literally the hardest. It is the fuse that sparks everything. As I was reading through the commentary on this passage, I'm going to read ahead just a little bit further in this passage before I read a section of this commentary for you this morning. And verse 3, we can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. In this commentary, I'm trying to remember. I believe it's Douglas Moo is the author. I will verify that in a bit, just so that I attribute the correct author. Quoting, probably we should make the application a little differently. Just as the bit determines the direction of the horse and the rudder the ship, so the tongue can determine the destiny of the individual. When believers exercise careful control of the tongue, it can be presumed that they also are able to direct their whole lives in their proper, divinely charted course. But when that tongue is not restrained, small though it is, the rest of the body is likely to be uncontrolled and undisciplined also. That's a powerful truth, that if we can learn that, if we can understand the power and the weight that our words hold, we can truly transform each and every day that we live on. I know I've spoken before on the power of our words and the power behind what we speak over ourselves. How much of a big difference it is when you wake up and you see the sun shining, you think, man, this is going to be a great day, versus waking up and see it maybe kind of like it was on Friday when you woke up and it was rainy and cold and fall decided to show up abruptly, and you kind of go, oh, man, this is going to be kind of blah. But then your whole day is that way. Does that make sense? That we can literally change the outlook of each and every day by the words we speak. When believers exercise careful control of the tongue, it can be presumed that they also are able to direct their whole lives in their proper, divinely charted course. Do you realize that it is somewhat easy to get yourself into a routine of how you act? It's not nearly as hard to put yourself in a routine of when you wake up, what you eat, if you're going to work out. That's not necessarily that difficult of a routine to put yourself in. But put yourself in a situation where you know it's going to upset you. Recently, I've been going through some probably testing at work where you come in and you know you're going to deal with a mess all day. And you get there and right away you just kind of get this edge on your attitude. And that's just kind of how your day goes. And that affects how you act. That affects the words you speak. That's harder. That's a much harder thing to break because of how difficult it is to stop from saying something you shouldn't. How many of you guys know the person that has no filter? None. Like, you could just be in, well, maybe here. You're in church, and all of a sudden you just hear just some of the craziest language, and you just know that person has no filter. Right? You know people like that? That is kind of what this is talking about. A tongue that is not restrained, small though it is, also typically means that the body itself is uncontrolled and undisciplined. You can see that within someone's character. You can see how someone carries themselves. And it's not very often that you see someone that carries themselves in a disciplined fashion that also spouts off expletives and swear words and all of that stuff at the same time. Typically, if you see that, I honestly don't know what to tell you, because I have never seen it. Anytime you see someone that is, for lack of a better term, cursing like a sailor, you typically know that there's a lifestyle that kind of matches that attitude. James is directly calling us to pay attention to what we speak. He is telling us to make sure that whatever it is that comes from our mouth as we open our mouth to speak, that it be life-giving, that it would honor God, that it wouldn't be, as he explains later on in our text, a restless evil full of deadly poison. We're going to jump ahead a little bit this morning into verse 9. And to call ourselves accountable by this passage. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. Guilty. That's kind of a heavy passage to sit and listen to. And even though I can stand and say I'm guilty, James already told us that we all make mistakes. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. One of the most powerful things and most impactful things that can happen in your everyday life is when you encounter an issue and you can restrain yourself from saying something that is inappropriate. If you can, especially when you work with the same people every day, they begin to realize your tendencies, and they begin to kind of call you out on things a little bit. I'm not usually noted for being too crazy at work, but there are times when I have a strong urge to maybe throw something, and I usually don't, but. Just this last week, I'm kind of rambling a little bit, but this last week I was at work, and I work in a small congested area, and right now we're making very big things in small congested areas, and it turns to be very frustrating very fast. And this was one of those days where I had to move one of these very big things in this very small space, and there happened to be something that was put there that shouldn't have been there. And I walked up and I picked it up, and my coworker, he's like, "Oh, I thought that was going to go flying." And I didn't. I restrained myself and I carried it over and I set it down. And I'm like, I thought about it. Do you ever have that? Where people start to kind of see who you are? And then when that change begins to come in you, when you begin to have that challenge and that strength that God brings, and that literal transformation, that the Spirit begins to convict us on things, and sometimes He uses other people like our coworkers to call us out on things that need to change. But when that change happens, people notice. People notice. When our language begins to change, people notice. When people begin to find out that you are a person of faith, that you believe in Jesus Christ, and you call yourself Christian, watch how the conversation changes. They might complete a sentence and add a few colorful words and then kind of apologize for it, whereas before they wouldn't. Have you experienced that? This isn't a foreign idea. People understand that our words hold power, and that they are that they can be impactful, that there is good and there is bad. Kind of a morale to our conversation. So James is challenging each and every one of us. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. This is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. James is telling us that if we cannot control our tongue, if we cannot begin to have that transformation happen within us, then you cannot have both truly flow from the same mouth. I would go so far to say that when we come into church on Sunday morning, let alone whatever happens throughout the week, but we try to praise and worship God, but then Monday we go back and we're frustrated and we let things be said that shouldn't, and we can't control our speech and we can't control our actions. How impactful is our worship on Sunday morning? We can't have a double standard within our own life. We can't have it. There's I wouldn't say it's a new thing, but there's this thing I've been kind of seeing where there's been a lot more coarse language within the Christian circles. And I would say that's cultural driven, not spirit driven, not at all. But people accept it, you know, saying, "Well, we're communicating with our culture. We're trying to have the biggest impact within a culture that's lost." What needs to be understood is that if you want to have a big impact in a culture that's lost, you need to do the opposite of what the culture is doing. If our culture is so lost and so dark that it can't realize that there is power in our words, that there is good and there is evil within what we speak, and that there is proper and there is just plain wrong, then what does it say if we in a Christian circle, in a faith aspect, come in and speak the same way? The scripture tells us in multiple places that we are to be a light in the darkness. In order to be a light in the darkness, light is complete opposite of dark. Is that correct? Is that understood? So can we use that in the same aspect of how we speak? That if we allow words that are unclean to come from our mouths, we are not being a light in the darkness. We are just blending in to the darkness. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. So blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. But this is not right. This is not right. If there is one challenge that I can send each and every one of us out of this place with today, is that we would sincerely be praying on our own, that the Holy Spirit would convict us, that we would begin to see the weight of our words, and that we would begin to understand that we can speak truth, that we can speak life, that we can be that light in that lost world we live in. I want you to all understand that as I speak this message, I am also directly challenged We're going to pray to close. Because the political front is in front of us all the time now, with less than a month before Election Day, we are going to pray for our country, because it's pretty obvious that we have a pretty deep and gaping wound within our nation. We're going to pray for our leaders. Josh preached last week, and if you weren't here, I would challenge you to go onto our website and to find that podcast and to listen to that, because he did a very good job of challenging us on our thoughts about the political process. But he challenged us to remember that no matter who is elected to lead our nation, we have one leader who stands above and will always stand above any leader, and that is Jesus Christ. What I'm saying is this, is yes, it is important that we are prayerfully considering who we will vote for. I'm not telling you not to vote, because that's a direct conflict with what God challenges us to do. God challenges us to come into our community, into our nation, into the places we live, and influence. And if we sit back and we withhold our right to vote and to do anything to influence our nation, we are standing in direct conflict with what God has asked us to do. I can't tell you which way to vote, and honestly, I'm not sure I know which way I will vote. But we will prayerfully lift this nation. Because no matter what takes place in this election, no matter what takes place throughout the whole process, because I'm sure no matter where it goes, there is going to be craziness erupting all over the place. We're going to pray for our nation. We're going to pray for the leaders that have been selected to represent this nation in this voting process. We're going to pray for our families, and we're going to pray for our communities. Before we leave this morning, we're going to do that right now in a corporate setting. If you would bow your heads with me. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that you have given us this passage in James this morning to challenge us, to call to attention the inconsistencies within our own lives, to give us a direct call to accountability on our words, on our speech. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would come through this place, that you would so fill us to the point that we show an immediate transformation within the way we think, within the way we speak, within the way we act, that our words would glorify your name, Jesus, that we would be a light in the darkness around us. Father God, I lift up the families of the communities each and every one of us live in. Lord God, we know that Satan is directly attacking each and every family that is out there. His goal is to destroy, Lord, and we know that you bring life. We know that you restore. We know that you bring everything into its proper place. And Father God, we lift up the families in our communities, the families in Wisconsin, the families in this nation up to you. Father, we ask in your holy name that you would bring a restorative power that is unlike anything we've seen before, that the family would be brought back into its proper place, that there would be strength and unity within each family. We thank you, Jesus, that we know that you are willing, we know that you are able to work in each and every one of our hearts to bring healing, to bring restoration in things that are damaged. Father God, I lift up the leadership of this community. We ask, Jesus, that you would just make them aware of who you are. That there would be a direct influence from you into their decision making, Lord God. Father, we lift up our state leadership. Lord, we lift up the elected officials that have been brought into a place of honor. Lord, that they would treat it as such, that they would respect their position, and that they would respect you, Jesus. Lord, we know that you place all officials in their place at their proper time to do your will. Father, we ask that you would bring these people to attention, that you would open their hearts and open their minds to receive and hear truth from your Spirit. Father, we lift up the election process for our president. Lord, as there is so much tension, as there is so much division in this nation over this process, we ask that you would bring your hope and that you would allow the proper person to be put into office, Lord, to bring this country back into alignment with you. Lord, we know and we recognize that you alone are worthy of praise, that you alone hold the key that brings salvation. We know, Lord God, that your officials are put in place for a reason. Lord, we know that your will be done. We pray again over this process. Lord, that you would bring blessing out of darkness. That you would bring hope. That you would allow us to be a light that influences those who are worn and weary, who seem hopeless in this time. Father God, we specifically lift up the candidates. We ask, Lord, that if it be your will, that you would restore them into a proper relationship with you. Lord God, that there would be such a dramatic transformation within them that nothing in their past would spot their future. We lift them up to you, Lord God, knowing that you alone can direct the paths of these leaders. We ask that your will would be done in this nation. We ask that your Spirit would move through this place as we continue on throughout our daily lives. That we would recall the challenge that you've given us this morning. That our words would glorify your name and be pure and faultless. We thank you, Jesus. We know, Lord, that there is power in your name. Amen. I would urge you all to continue praying for your leadership, for your families, for your church, that you would speak life, that you would speak hope over each and every one. Because if there is one thing that will transform a community, it is a group of people who continually speak truth, speak hope, speak love over everyone. Thank you all for coming out this morning. Have a great evening, afternoon.